We've got a few things to do tonight. Joe Ray's got his tape started. The videotape's going. I've got my Max Factor 10-2 on. Have any of you tried your deceleration PAR program? A couple of guys tried it and are amazed at some of the things it did for them. The reason we didn't talk too much about that program is I want you all to, before we put a manual out on it, before we go into a lot of details on it, it's in a follow-up. We've got some stuff in the follow-up about it, and there's some more coming, and there's, of course, stuff in this manual. Is use it like with free association, with no particular knowledge of what it does or what it's supposed to do, and have the wonderful thrill of discovery for yourself. Those who have used it, including ourselves, have found that it will get the race down to 3 horses most of the time. And if you can get it down to 3 horses, like we said this morning, if you're determined to win, then you'll only leave out 1 horse. Whereas when if you're determined to lose now, you leave out 3. I hope that through what Tom did in the first part of today, this afternoon, and what Jimmy has done and will continue to do for the next 20, 30 minutes, I hope it has eased some of the problems that you people have in putting in horses that just don't belong in the race and that confuse your readouts. Occasionally, I will hear from someone using even Thoromation who had a bad day. A gentleman just met me back there, and he said, I must be doing something wrong. So Jimmy and I will review his races, and what he's doing wrong is he's either leaving out the winner or he's putting in a couple of horses that absolutely do not belong. And that was the purpose of Tom Brohammer's exercise and what Jimmy and Tom McCray went through this afternoon, to see that you only put in the proper contenders. And let me tell you the most dangerous thing you can do. What's most dangerous is not putting in an early horse who can't go all the way. The program can detect that pretty well and will eliminate it for you. I think Jimmy will agree with me, and maybe he will pursue this in his matchup when he talks about it for the next half hour. You put in horses that have one fractional move, usually the third fraction. So strong, they run so much, so fast, or so much with so much energy in the third fraction with nothing before it, that it tilts the mechanics, the algorithms of the program to make it seem to be favoring a sustained situation when that sustained pace horse doesn't have a chance. It's that one, usually one bad horse. Every time anybody has taken their problems to Jimmy or to myself, we have found that if just one single horse were left out, that the program would get the race in perfect perspective. It's that one horse you put in, and usually you don't mean to put it in, or you don't mean to keep it in. You say, well, I want to put this in just to see what it'll do. And then you forget to take it out. You forget to look to see that it is so deficient in the earlier part of the race that one move is not sufficient to make it win, unless it's at a distance or in a situation where one move is sufficient. Generally speaking, that's the horse that fouls up your readout. So if the exercises you went through this afternoon help you to eliminate these false horses, then I will assure you your programs will give you the same proficiency as you've heard some of the people who are using it are bragging about. But that's the one you have to watch. The false early is not as destructive. Would you agree with me, Jimmy? That it's the false late. That's the one that's fouling you up. So take a realistic approach. Don't be Colonel Bradley's and say because it has one great fraction at the end that it is competitive throughout the race. And Jimmy will pursue this in his furthering of his... Well, he began, and it kind of got restless here before dinner. Everybody had been sitting for a long time, so we decided to interrupt it. But we'll continue now with Jimmy using the program to give you a better evaluation of the matchup. Not just who's going to be at the lead at the second call, but the matchup from the time the gate opens until the wire is crossed. Jimmy?
I have pretty well gone over the program, and you should pretty well understand how to use it. But as good as the program is, as good as the tools that we have, if you don't put in the right horses, you're in a world of hurt. I have a lot of sympathy for people. I want to help them as much as I possibly can. But you would be surprised how many people have no concept of what a horse race really is. You know, they have no understanding of energy exertion. They have no understanding of deceleration. I had a lot of trouble with deceleration, trying to write EXDC and deceleration, for the very reason is the horse that runs the slowest has the least amount of deceleration. You know, you take a person that go out and run, and a walker. The person that runs decelerates more and faster than the walker. So a horse that runs faster depletes his energy a lot faster than a horse that runs slow. This is why there's a difference between a sustained and a late horse. Feston. You saw a late horse, a one-move horse, a horse that has a good final fraction. And you saw that he shows up real strong on a sustained grant. Or that he shows up on the instant pre-play. But these horses can only win when everything in front of them has exerted all of their energy. I do not really care who takes the lead in a race. I don't look for a horse that is going to me that is elementary. Say, this horse is going to take the lead, this horse is going to be here, this horse is going to be there. I take a picture of the whole race, the total race, of how it's going to be run from start to finish. I'm going to give you some hints on using the matchup to get the correct horses in a race, to look for horses that can win the race. Have an idea of horses that can win before they even go into your computer. Take a race and look at it. How does this horse like to win? We'll say, horse A, how does he like to win? Of course, now he's got to have a win in his past performance. Does this horse need to go wire to wire to win today's race? If the answer is yes on any horse in the race, must go wire to wire to win the race. Now start looking for the horse that can keep him from going wire to wire. A presser. Someone that's going to press the pace, another early horse. Say, here is the guy that's going to keep this horse from going wire to wire. Now there isn't any need of putting in this horse that needs to go wire to wire. He is no longer a contender for win consideration. Now, how is this race going to set up? How is this race going to run? Other than early. Other than early. Now, in your mind, you have a picture of what's going to happen in this race. Today's race is going to run other than early. Now, if you can't get rid of that one horse that can go wire to wire, then it's going to run other than sustained. Now, how many early horses are going to be vying for the lead? How many are going to go out in front? Who are the true sustained horses in the race? Now, is this going to be a sustained horse that is going to win today's race, or is it going to be a late horse? Now, remember I said that sustained is two parts early, and late is a one-move fraction horse at the end. Now, in your mind, you say, hey, I know what kind and type of horses that I'm looking for. I have a pretty good understanding of how this race is going to set up and run. If you can't find a horse that's going to take the lead, what is this telling you right off the top of your head? Hey, this is going to run other than early, because I've got a horse that is going to take the lead by default. So this race is setting up to run other than early. Now you look for horses. The best, if it's going to run other than early, the best closers, the best sustained, the best late. Horses that are up close at the second call and at the stretch. Start looking for the guidelines then that Tom gave you. I do not pay any attention to claiming price. For the first thing, those guys don't know what those horses are worth. The horse don't know what he's worth. The horse has run the race. If some people need that, I don't knock it. I do not believe in pars. I do not believe in track profiles. To me, the matchup supersedes everything. If I believed in the things that these people say, or I did not, or I believe that it worked, I would never win a horse race. I sat in the book Wednesday and hit 8 winners in a row. One horse bets. I did not know what track I was playing. I lost my 9th one because my wires in my head got crossed. I lost concentration on my TVs. So to me, the matchup supersedes everything. The second thing that I look for is the horse in the race at today's distance, at today's track, that ran against the fastest pace. Say, today's race is a 6-furlong race. I'm not looking for so much for beaten lengths. I want him fairly close or performing at a decent against this pace. But let's say that it's a 21-4, 44-4, 109-3. Mm-hmm. And this horse is, we could say, third or fourth, back three or four. Say he's off five at the half mile. Gets up closer at the stretch, makes a move. Loses the race. But this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this horse that ran against the fastest pace. Now, if I can't get it in the last race, I look second back or third back. If I can't get it at exact distance, if it's a sprint, I look at a sprint. I do not look at internal fractions at that time. And just exactly what we showed you, Tom and I, this morning, if it's a 7-furlong, I know what they can run at 10, just automatically. At 6, I know what they can run at each furlong. And that's how this little formula will help you. Say that the horse today is 6, the horse coming off of a 7. It's about a 6.2 deceleration factor. Know the horse runs about a 110. So I know I'm looking for the fastest pace. Now people, these horses win a lot of races. The next time out, they win lots of races if they're up close and have performed well against this pace. The better they perform, the more readily they are to win the race. They're ready to win. He will run better today. Now let's say that we got this horse that ran against a 21-4, 44-4, 109-4. That's fairly close. Let's say it's 5 off at the quarter mile and 5 off at the half mile. I don't care how bad he got beat at this time. I want him, you know, up close. Speed rating will tell you. Now look at the horse that... what is the first call going to be? Let's say it's going to be a 22-2. Now that's the third thing. You start finding horses that are going to set today's pace. Let's say 22-2. We've got a horse ran 21-4. Behind 5. If the day's pace is a 22-2, how much closer is he going to be? Four lengths closer? Probably. We'd say probably 2. Because horses, as I say, is a creature of habits. He'll probably be running third position. About 3 off. Now look at the energy this horse is saving. He's not chasing a fast pace. Now let's say it's a 45 instead of a 45-4. Here's another length that he's gained. Now this horse is setting about second by 2. Now he's saved double units of energy. These double units of energy take off from the beaten lengths. And you may have a standout horse that was beaten 6 lengths or 8 lengths. Look for horses that actually had the lead. Not horses that ran close to the pace.
horses that really had the lead.
Do not add big lengths. Why not add big lengths? Times are relative. I think that Einstein proved that. Say, well, a horse ran against a 22-2. Back two is a 22-4. No, it isn't. In reality, yes, but we're not dealing in reality. We're dealing in relativity. The horse did not run a 22-4 in relativity. He ran two lengths behind a 22-2. And he would probably run two lengths behind a 22-4. Never add beaten lengths. Change beaten lengths within the matchup structure. What position will this horse be in today? Last time he was in sixth position at a faster pace. He'll be in third position today. How many positions did he gain? Gain two. Positions will move a horse. Now we're looking at times, positions, and beaten lengths. Now we're getting horses in that have a shot to win the race. Now, I didn't say, look and see who trains the horse. I didn't say, look and see who rides the horse. I didn't say, look and see what post position the horse is in. See what the horse can do. All right. Now look at each horse in the race. Each horse. We're not looking for pace lines. We're looking for true contenders in the race. Now this may come as a shock to you. I do not pick pace lines. I pick horses. Now, what is the difference? A lot of difference. Look at every line that this horse has run. What does he do his best against? At the best that he, if he can win at a 23-47, 113, and you've got a horse that ran against a 21-4, 44-4, 109-4, man, that horse had better run in mud up to his neck before you want to put him into your computer. That's a slow horse. I said before lunch, before dinner, slow horses beat slow horses. I like to say fast horses win races. Where's my friend Jim McAwee? There's Jim. He made this statement here in Las Vegas last time we were here. A certain fella made poke fun at him. And I say, if you don't think that fast horses win races, what track do you play? I want to get into your back pocket. Howard and I checked. Horses that ran against the fastest pace are in the money 82% of the time the very next time they run. Now start looking for the internal fractions of routers. Now, you know, I haven't made any distinction on this. I do the same thing regardless of whether it is a route or a sprint. Whether it's a turf or a dirt. I follow the same procedure. Pretty soon you're down to the three or four logical contenders. Say, well, everything I read says put five or six in. Don't put five or six in if there's only three horses that can win. Say, well, if I don't, I'll leave out the place horse. Well, don't play exactas. You know, my experience has been you got to have the winner before you can play the exacta anyhow. And I got to play the winner because I don't get very many exactas. Invariably, I'll throw out the place horse. Did a little better the other day, but invariably I'll throw it out because that sucker can't win. And I know he can't win. Tom and Tony, well, they almost get rich on my place horses. They say, Jimmy, who's going to place in this race? I say, well, the three horse. Man, they start show parlays because I run first and third. And they'll say, who's the ugly horse in the race? I'll say, well, that old four horse, that's the ugliest horse in the race. And they will put it on an exacta, and they hit more exactas just on my ugly horses. And they're so ugly, I know that they can place, but they're so ugly, I wouldn't even put them on an exacta. I'd rather lose than bet those horses. That's how bad they are. Now, people, let me tell you something. If you can't follow these little steps, if you can't do this, you're not going to make these programs work as well as they will work. I'm not saying that you won't win. But if you can make these programs dance and sing, now, this is part of the matchup. It hasn't changed that much since the manual was written. This is the way that I get contenders. And sometimes I never have to go up past the horse that ran against the fastest pace. Bang, there he is. You're dealing with energy, exertion, and deceleration. If a horse that ran against the fastest pace can run slower today, golly, let's go to the bank. If a horse that ran against the fastest pace has to run faster today, that's an elimination. This is how I start with the matchup. Or the best that I can tell you that I start with the matchup. In reality, I do a lot of voodoo. I flip-flop lines. I may take part of one line and part of another one so I know how the horse is going to run today.
You're as bad as Brohim.
But I don't put them in the computer that way. And people, these are cool. Now you can use some of the other things. I don't even know what a negative class drop or a positive class. I don't know none of this stuff. You know, negative class drop and positive class drops and bounce.